This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Tonight, Game 4. It is the most important game of this series. All right? Toronto is either going to go back to Toronto with a 2-2 tie in a best-of-three series going, okay, looks like Golden State's back. Or they're going back to Toronto with a 3-1 series lead and looking like they're in control and wondering, let's keep the pedal on the, you know, the gas and let's get this championship to the city of Toronto and give this town a title. This is what's at stake tonight. Golden State is injured. Yep, we get it. Kevin Durant hasn't played in a month. Klay Thompson, we thought he looked good and we thought he was practicing well and didn't play at all on Wednesday night.
I'm sorry. Did you say Kevin Durant's out?
Yeah, Kevin Durant is out again.
Man, that's
surprise.
That's. I wonder how Warriors are going to deal with this bit of information coming last minute.
I saw one site yesterday that I peruse a lot of sports sites. It said breaking news. I go, no, it's not really breaking news.
I think of a different term.
The Warriors announcing the same thing they've announced for the last 8 games is not breaking
news.
Could
you say broken news?
Yeah.
Maybe that's a better term.
Like I said, tell me when he's going to play.
At this point, that's breaking news. Breaking news, Kevin Durant will play.
Yeah, breaking news. If he's coming back, that's breaking news. It is not breaking news that he's not going to play. We get that he's not going to play. We haven't seen him since May 7th, whatever it was.
He's done.
Thank God.
He's
you have to kind of remember that he's not on
team.
The team. Yeah, he's not even on the team.
He may not be going to the Knicks now. Maybe it's Brooklyn.
By the way, here's the deal. Don't undersell this Toronto Raptors championship. I know it'll be looked at as, if Golden State was healthy. But you know what? That comes in the territory of sports, okay? You can, injuries occur. They happen. You got to deal with them. I'm not going to put a little tiny asterisk next to the championship of the Raptors because Durant and Kevin Klay Thompson and Kevon Looney were all out. No, I'm not doing that. I'm not going down that road. But important game tonight, and the Warriors really need it because coming back from a 3-1 deficit is going to be very, very hard.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM. It is Friday. So glad it's Friday. Listen, people always go, it's TGIF. I had this bizarre week where I just felt like I couldn't get to Friday fast enough.
Same here.
I just like, God, end this week.
Just felt like
it was one thing after another.
Way too much going on.
I know. I completely agree. Listen, normally I don't mind when the week trolls along. I'm okay with it. I like what I do. But this week I was like, I cannot get to Friday fast enough. I need a reset button on the weekend. I need to be good to go.
Yeah, I'm not going to get one though.
You got more baseball this weekend?
All weekend long.
All weekend.
And guess what? The positive thing about what we get to partake in on Saturday is the fact that it's going to be around 98 degrees.
Oh, very good.
And in the South, when you say 98 degrees, it feels like it's, somewhere in the triple digits.
That's right. That's
so
exactly
we're
right.
We're really looking forward to a 12 o'clock game on a Saturday afternoon.
Tonight I just want to settle in and watch this basketball game and be left alone. Is that too much for my family to do? Or are they going to demand that we go out to dinner or something? Because my wife will do that guilt thing because my kids are all over the globe right now. They're just scattered across the town doing 100 different things. And my wife will say something like, it would be a good idea if the family just went out to dinner. And I'll go, I kind of want to settle in and watch the basketball game.
okay, just never see our kids and never see us all together doing something. That's okay, though. We'll, you watch your basketball game and the kids will go off. And then I'll go, okay, everybody get together. Let's. What restaurant does everyone want to go to? Fine, let's go.
You ever go to?
And I'll be the grouch.
You ever do that? Like, fine, we'll go to a restaurant, and they pick one. Nope, that restaurant doesn't have TVs.
No, that's right, exactly. Find one with the bar television. That's
I
what
promise. I won't stare at it the entire time. Just casual glances, unless you want me looking down at my phone. Your call.
My problem is, and I don't know if this is like I have this issue where our family doesn't know where to go out to eat, and so I will say, well, how about this Mexican restaurant? And my wife will go, oh, nah, I went to lunch there on Wednesday. And then I'll say to her, okay, how about the Italian place? And she'll go, no, you wanted to go to the Mexican restaurant. I'll be okay. I'll do that. I'll go, no, it was just a suggestion. It's not etched in stone. We'll go somewhere else. I don't care. No, you that was the first thing that came to your head. So we can, like, no, it's okay. We'll figure out something. And then I finally pick something and I realize everybody hates it. Yep. I'm like, well, then you pick. You decide. What's the matter with you?
See, my issue is we're still in that era of life where we're trying to just find kid-friendly places.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, we got to go.
And you should.
If we're going to go to a restaurant, we need to have distractions in place.
You need place with like there's macaroni and cheese, whatever it is the kids
pizza,
like, you know, whatever it is they like,
fingers,
right?
Chicken nuggets. So I mean, we're not doing anything high end at all.
Yeah, no,
because it's always the money.
No. And wait a minute, when they get older, and if your kid is athletic and is an athlete, don't go high end either, because they eat like an animal. Like my son's 17, he could eat two meals.
Yep.
Like I go cut it out. You don't want to look like me.
No, that's the problem. It's like, you think about it during the summertime. One of the things I hate about during the summertime, I feel like I'm going to the grocery store a whole lot more.
Oh, I know. It's crazy.
Because all
kids
of a sudden,
reach out to us and all.
I'm going in. I'm like, hey, where is this? Oh, we ate it. Like, we just bought it yesterday.
Just bought it. Can't even enjoy it for 2 seconds. Can't just enjoy. Like, I buy some. Oh, I'm going to have this Friday. No, it's gone. That's the way it goes. That's right.
So
summertime's here.
Tonight in the Culver household, we usually tend to make a Friday night's pizza night.
There you go, pizza night. Very good.
That way
Absolutely.
We can.
I might do that too.
That way we can. That way you can watch the game.
I want to watch the game in private. I just want to in peace. Well, maybe some. If the kids want to watch it with me, that's cool. But sit up and watch.
Tell
the game.
Them, say, hey guys, listen. If this is a blowout, I'll stop watching at half.
Yeah.
If it's a blowout, exactly. One way. Let me watch part of the third quarter.
could this be one of those games tonight, like that, like LeBron used to have, where like for Steph Curry, where he just goes, you know what? I am going to have to score 60. I'm sorry. I'm not going to give the ball up to anybody. LeBron would have these games, and he's not LeBron. I mean, listen, Steph is an awesome player, but he's not LeBron, in which LeBron, and I don't mean it like an insult, like, oh, he's not LeBron James. No, Steph can do a lot of scoring, but LeBron has the physicality to score against different defenses, different players, and different schemes, and score against a lot of different people covering him.
Yeah, I just don't see that in Steph. I just don't. I see him. I see him taking a whole lot of shots, whether they start falling or not. I mean, that's up to the face to decide. But I don't see him being the type of guy that could single-handedly put a team on his back and lead them to victory.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering. Is he capable of? He's capable of scoring a lot. But if tonight he realizes, you know what, I'm going to have to do a lot of this legwork if we're going to play this game. I don't know if he is. Because Toronto's an excellent defensive team. Two, he just doesn't have that Kobe LeBron physicality that allows you to score at different ways, right? Whether it's from the three, whether it's in the post, LeBron absolutely could do that. Kobe could do that. Michael definitely could do that. And Steph is a different kind of player. That doesn't mean he can't score in bunches. It doesn't mean that you could knock down a lot of threes in this game. But it's hard for me to envision that kind of night where he single-handedly grabs the Warriors and goes, I'm taking you to the end. He's got to get some help from some other guys in some capacity. It doesn't have to be big, but it has to be in some capacity. And if you're Steve Kerr, tell me what percentage of Klay Thompson is better than 100% of Sean Livingston, because I need to know the answer. Because that answer has is you got to find out if Klay is at that point. Because if you're not going to have Durant, then you need Clay tonight, and you better figure out a way to get him.
And I think that's the most interesting. That's why I'd want to watch from the beginning, is just to see how effective Clay Thompson is. I mean, first of all, is he going to start, or is he just coming off the bench?
Right.
All we know is that that he is expected to play. I don't even think they haven't made it official yet, have they?
No, they haven't announced it.
They haven't said
yet.
Yes, he will be in game four. The only thing that it says is Kevin Durant, breaking news, Kevin Durant is out.
Kevin Durant's not playing tonight. Good. I was so concerned.
I was worried for a second. I didn't know which way that was going to go.
Yeah, I was like, "Wow, really? No kidding."
Man, why not treat the, game four of an NBA Finals as your first practice?
Yeah, right? Go out there and go.
Makes all sense in the world.
They did say Clay is likely to play, but if I'm not mistaken, I felt they said that about before Wednesday's game three, right? Leading up to that on Monday and Tuesday, leading up to that game.
And let's do what we did the last time. If it's ruled an hour beforehand, Clay Thompson will not play game four. Is game four watchable?
That's really difficult. Because, again, it goes back to the Toronto thing we talked about in game three. That's a must-win, not a must-win game. It's a very winnable, should-win game.
Yeah, they have to win that game.
Yeah, because you can't lose to a depleted Golden State team like this.
And then you're going back to Toronto 3-1. You don't want to go back to Toronto 2-2 when Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant were out.
And here's the other thing. Listen, and I know he doesn't get a lot of looks because he's not a big-time player for Golden State, but Kevon Looney being out is a big deal. He is a very good, serviceable player that has provided them outstanding minutes this season. Nope, he's not Durant. Nope, he's not the Splash Brothers. Nope, he's not Draymond Green. But for what they need him to do, he has done that this season. He has had a very good year filling that role for them, and his absence is noticeable. He's done great defensively. He's a great off-the-ball defender, which is really good to have. But his absence is important, too. Not as big as Clay. If Clay misses tonight, forget it. Forget it. But Sean Livingston, you know what? If he's not going to play, if Clay's not going to play tonight, Sean Livingston, step on up and do something. Because they need you. And listen, it's not a guarantee that Toronto will win if they're up 3-1, right? We've seen that where Cleveland was able to overcome that. But, man, I love two games at home for Toronto to try to close out the series if they steal one tonight. And I don't even know if stealing is the right term. They might just win it outright because they should win it outright if they're hurt and beat up. But there's got to be a conversation that the trainers, Kerr and Thompson, are having about the effectiveness of playing. If he seriously can't play, if this hamstring is a bad injury, and again, we don't know. We don't know the level. We don't know what his body's going through and what his body's telling him. If he can't play, then this series is really in Toronto's hands and should be in Toronto's hands. Even if you get a good night from Sean Livingston.
If he can't play, the series is over?
Well, depending on tonight.
I mean, I know it's tough to say. I mean, if they win tonight.
Oh, if they win tonight,
it's
over,
right?
Why not? Two games at home out of three?
I mean, and at that point, do you even bother with trying to get Kevin Durant back or Klay Thompson back?
You know,
I mean, I don't think
you give up.
I'm still thinking that Kevin Durant is milking this injury.
I don't know, though. He has a chance to be a real hero here and win a title.
Yeah, but at the same time, it still be that narrative that, he came back to a super team. I don't know how much of a hero he is more than we couldn't put all their defenders on one player. We then had to spread them out.
But don't you think that team is covered like nobody's business? And nobody keeps secrets in sports. Nobody does. Somebody would know this. And somebody would be furious at this if that was the case.
I don't know. Let's go to Durant's Twitter burner accounts.
Right. I'm not saying it's not happening. I'm just saying there would be somebody within that organization saying, you know what? Because, man, there's U.S. beat reporters, they'll tell you, nobody keeps secrets. I don't care what it is. Nobody keeps secrets. And imagine if you worked your tail off for a team and you could win a championship and this guy, and you knew this guy was milking it and didn't want to go back as a fear of an injury or whatever it is for a long-term injury, you would go, hey, Marcus Thompson, come over here. Yeah, this, you didn't hear it from me, but Durant's healthy. He just doesn't want to play. And then Thompson would look into it. I mean, that guy, that team is well covered. That team is very, very deeply covered. But not saying it doesn't happen. But remember what Steve Kerr said about Klay Thompson, right? They didn't. He was scared that Thompson could get a further injury, right? That's a little worrisome if you're a Golden State fan, because Durant, you can go calf strain. Yeah, maybe it is worse than it is. Whatever. But if Kerr realizes that Thompson could have played in some capacity, but he was worried about a long-term injury, well, that you're not supposed to be thinking like that with four games to go. You're supposed to figure out, can your guy play enough to provide anything? And if he gets hurt, he gets hurt, because you're playing for this season. All right, but that's just, it's been, the Durant thing's driving me nuts, because it's, again, if you're going to, like, he won't play the entire NBA Finals and never have gotten just ruled out completely. I don't know what are they looking for. All right, 800-777-2907. The number, it is SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, I think I'm getting to be the only one that is not as outraged at Mark Stevens as the rest of the national media. We'll get to that in a minute, but first, don't take a chance on being stranded. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and get your battery tested. It's free of charge and one of the many services available. If your battery needs to be replaced, the professional parts people help you find the exact battery for your car or truck. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Listen, I'm not here to tell you that Mark Stevens is a good guy, the guy who shoved Kyle Lowry on the sidelines. What I've been saying this morning is, one, I think this is fixable and solvable through just sort of mutual conversation without everybody screaming and hollering and banning guys and asking guys to sell the team. All right, he made a very, very big mistake.
I think he should be tar and feathered.
Yes, let's drag him out of the streets.
I loved your idea earlier. Let's put him in the stockade.
Stockade. Send him out there. Let people throw those rotten vegetables at him. All right, I mean, Dan Wolkin at USA Today. This kid, you know, this guy needs to be gone from the NBA. It's bad look for the league. Look, come on, guys. I mean, just everybody slow down. We live in an incredible outrage culture, and I know it gets really frustrating, right? Everyone's offended about everything, and everybody wants everyone to suffer permanently. I get it. You can't do anything. There's no apologies anymore. There's no people saying, you know, I'm really, really sorry. Can we move on? No, we don't move on anymore. We want everybody banned from everything. We want everybody to suffer for any problem that you feel like you're offended by. I get it. Kyle Lowry and this other guy got in a shoving match. It should have never taken place. Never. Never, ever should have taken place. And it is an owner of an NBA team, or whatever shares he has in the Golden State Warriors, he should have known better. And sitting courtside, he should have known better. Listen, when you have those courtside seats, you are warned that players can come in to where you are, and you better have a heads up. If you have a little kid, you better watch that little kid all the time, because these NBA guys are coming. They're coming in, and they're coming in hard, and they're flying. That's the price you pay for sitting at those seats, with those kind of seats where you could trip the player by sticking out your foot. He should have known better than this. He made a mistake. I get it. Ban him for a year. Fine him $500,000. All of these things are justifiable. This make him sell the Warriors and he can never go to a game again for the rest of his life. What are we doing?
I'm trying to remember the last time somebody messed up like this and we accepted their apology.
And just said, yeah, right?
And said, we get it. Thank you for apologizing, and moved on. I'm really having a hard time trying to remember. When does someone mess up, you know, on a grand scale like this and apologize for it? And we went, okay.
And listen, like,
yeah,
for example,
we'll fine you this amount of money, but, you know, nothing else further.
For example, Laura Wagner at Deadspin wrote an article about Mark Stevens, in which she basically said, I know who this guy is. We now know who he is. His name is Mark Stevens. But she called him a D-bag, a venture capitalist D-bag. Why? Because he's a venture capitalist? And shoved Kyle Lowry in a moment of kind of an altercation that he shouldn't have done? Like, we're jealous of his wealth. We're jealous of his courtside seat. We're jealous of his prominence within the Warriors. So, of course, he has to be – he's free game to call whatever name you want.
Exactly. You know what it is? In 10 seconds or, you know, his 15 seconds of fame, because I'm not giving him 15 minutes. It's 15 seconds of fame.
I didn't know who he was. No matter how rich he is, I had no idea who he was until yesterday.
Idea. I mean, yesterday we were calling him some fan.
I didn't know. Yeah, exactly. It wasn't until I found out later he was an owner.
And the world didn't know. It came out later on. It's like, oh, you remember that guy that shoved Kyle Lowry? Turns out he's part owner of the Warriors.
Right.
It's like
right.
Nobody knew. And so in 15 seconds, we've labeled him as something.
Exactly.
We've totally made him out to be a villain. Now, should he have shoved Kyle Lowry? Of course not. No.
And we are not saying that that action is appropriate. I am absolutely not. I like the one-year ban. And I think he should not only accept it, he should publicly accept it and say, that is what this league should be doing to guys like me who push a player or interact with a player. We should not be allowed to sit in these seats for a year. We should not be allowed to attend games in any capacity for a year. Forget these seats. I shouldn't be allowed to sit up there. I shouldn't be allowed in the building for
you. Not only that, then, you know, take it a step further. The $500,000 fine shouldn't go anywhere near the Warriors or the NBA. It should go to some charity, designate, whatever.
I think it should go to a Kyle Lowry charity.
Exactly. There you go. Kyle Lowry's charity.
Or I think Kyle Lowry should say, fine.
Uncle Drew part two.
Yeah, exactly. I think Kyle Lowry should say, you know what? I work with kids in Toronto on this. And I would love for you to participate in that. Or my hometown is here, and I work with. I need a community center built that'll be great. And yeah, we can solve this, people. We can come together. We don't have to be at each other's throats all the time, every day. It's exhausting. I can't keep up with this. I really can't. I can't keep up with who I'm supposed to be mad at all the time. I'm sick of it. Listen, I don't know this guy. This guy could be a complete jerk. I get it. He could be a real jerk, treats people like garbage. Okay, and if that's the case, point that out. But if you're just going to tell me he should sell his stake in the Warriors because of this, just this, no way. Now, you're right. Ron brought this up earlier, and I agreed with him. And I think everybody else would too. If he said something to Kyle Lowry racially offensive, And people around him, like security and people, can verify that. Say, he called him a this, and this. Absolutely. I'm totally fine with that. But if it's just Lowry getting in the stands and a frustrated owner of the Warriors gets a little upset and agitated, come on, this is forgivable. This is forgivable. Nobody got hurt. Lowry's not out of game four because of, got punched in the eye or something. This is forgivable, and this is something where the NBA can really showcase itself by saying, here is one of the owners making the statement, talking about he's going to donate the money to Kyle Lowry's charity, begging for forgiveness, accepting a one-year ban, reminding fans his actions were intolerable, and we can all move on. Like, give me a break with these columns and this far outrage. If you watch it, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You writers out there are just looking or begging people to just jump on this hatred bandwagon because this guy's rich and successful and pushed Kyle Lowry for apparently no reason.
And the only reason why they're doing it, clicks.
Clicks.
That's it.
Again.
She can get away with calling them names and, calling them entitled D-bag or
venture
capitalist D-bag.
So what if he's made his money?
Yeah.
If he didn't do it illegal, I don't care how you make your money in this country. I don't care. If it's not illegal, make your money. I mean, I'd love you to make your money honestly and
buy your courtside tickets.
Helping people and making money for people. I would prefer that.
Buy part of a team. That's your right.
But we can all... There are plenty of punishments this guy can take for this, but let's not go nuts. Dan Wolkin, I love you, but my God, everybody's writing these awful throw them in the dungeon and throw away the key columns on Mark Stevens.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, let me tell you about New Leaf Natural CBD Oil. I've been using it now for a couple of weeks. I love it. Take a couple of drops under the tongue. Makes me feel great. Non-intoxicating. It makes it ideal for people seeking the health benefits of cannabinoids without the mind-altering effects of medical marijuana. And it's non-toxic. It's also got potent pain-relieving and anti-inflammatory properties. You can take it right on where you're hurting. Just rub it right in. The brand I trust most is New Leaf Naturals. New Leaf Naturals is the highest quality of CBD oil on the market. It's 100% organic and it's highly concentrated. It contains no additives. And it's grown in the United States. The only ingredient is hemp, so the product remains in its most pure and simple form. Like I said, I take a couple of droplets underneath the tongue. Go to newleafnaturals.com. It's NUleafNaturals.com. Receive free shipping and 30% off when you use the promo code Tony. NUleafNaturals.com for premium cannabinoid wellness. There's only one place, newleafnaturals.com. Seriously, check it out. It's good stuff. All right, the Women's World Cup begins today in Paris, France, the United States, coming off a championship last time in 2015. We'll be playing, and so we want to get the kind of the feeling for what this tournament is all about, not only for Team USA, but for the rest of the global stage for the Women's World Cup. Martin Rogers joins us from Fox Sports, live from Paris, France, on SB Nation AM on our Progressive Insurance Hotline. How are you, Martin? How are you?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
Good. All right, so the United States, in terms of this field, is the United States the best team in this tournament?
I believe so. I think they have the best group of players. I think they have unbelievable individual talent and collectively come together incredibly well. I think if you're looking at, I don't know, the top 50 players in this tournament individually, I'd say probably 15 of them are Americans. It's a very, very talented group, but that doesn't always guarantee success.
Now, with that being said, do they have the best player in the tournament? And if they do, who? If they don't, who is it?
Yeah, interesting. I mean, there's a lot of divided opinion and thought on this. I think if Megan Rapinoe is at her best, then there's no one else in world soccer who can touch her. There's a lot of people who have a lot of different lines of thinking on this. To me, she's the one player who, if she fires, then no one's going to beat the Americans.
Martin, as this tournament has progressed over the last couple of years and a lot of attention has been given to Women's World Cup play, especially here in the United States, are we seeing a large increase of the countries that can win this thing compared to four or five cups ago? Or are we staying with the same usual suspects every year?
The common thinking is that there's a much wider pool this time around. For me, I don't necessarily agree. I think there's a much wider pool of teams that can do something in the event. Many more teams who can make a semi-final or maybe even a final. But for me, in terms of who's going to come out winner, I mean, US and France, for me, are overwhelmingly favored above the rest of the pack.
In terms of the United States in their pool, do they have a team that is going to give them some fits? Do they have is there a group nemesis for them in the early stages of this tournament?
The closest thing to it would be Sweden. That's the team that knocked them out of the Olympics in 2016. It's a team they've faced many times. It's a team that they will face in the group stage here. They're also up against Chile and Thailand in the group, who shouldn't pose any kind of real threat at all. But that matchup against Sweden could decide, you know, which team is going to win the group, which could be significant later on in terms of positioning in the bracket.
Is this a tournament? How widespread are the matches? I mean, France is not like Brazil. I mean, but in terms of widespread matches, is it all over the country? Is it concise? Where are they playing most of these matches?
It is all over the country, but like you say, you know, France is a manageable size, if you like. And in terms of travel, the US have a really, really nice kind of compact package in terms of where their games are likely to be. All of their first three games are in the north. All of them are either in Paris or within a couple of hours of Paris. And as long as they win their group, then they really shouldn't have to stretch too far afield at all until the semi-final and the final, which is down in Lyon in the south of the country. So good news for the US, good news for the fans that have come over and are going to be following the team. and it could play a factor.
Martin Rogers again joins us, Fox Sports, on the Women's World Cup. Martin, how is women's soccer taken in other countries? We seem to love it because we win. We seem to embrace the women a lot. Is it popular in other sports that, I mean, maybe not as popular as the men, but has it reached that kind of level of popularity that we see in the United States?
It's different in the United States to pretty much anywhere else. There's more sort of recognizability, I guess, in America, because, like you say, of the success the team has had. But obviously, you know, in between World Cups and Olympics and stuff like that, you know, there's still a long, long way to go in America as well. Things have really taken off in other countries. Domestic leagues have continued to grow in both quality of play and in popularity, especially in the European countries. Women's soccer continues to get bigger and bigger. FIFA is very slowly sort of starting to recognize that and gradually kind of increasing prize money and stuff like that. But the players, you know, still want more, and still more quality is still being sought after. But it's been great to see. The interest factor is greater in the women's game, and that directly translates to an increased standard of play.
Can you tell me a little bit about, and speaking, coming off the equality conversation, Ada Hegerberg, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, from Norway, is she protesting because of some equality issues? What's her status? Because I know she's one of the national figures or the worldwide figure. What is her status for this World Cup?
Yeah, you pronounced it perfectly. She's one of the very best players in the women's game. She's won FIFA Women's Player of the Year. And there are a number of things she's not happy with. She hasn't necessarily gone into all of them in huge detail. There's definitely some equality things about the way that the women's game is perceived and the way that it's run, on both a domestic and a global level. Quite interestingly, in Norway, there is, you know, some kind of genuine equality. I mean, the women's are paid the same as the men's players, when they're on national team duty. It's an interesting one. She's an interesting character, had tremendous success at club level. We'll never know 100% for sure why she's not here. But in some ways, you do have to kind of respect her stance, the fact that she's willing to give up this great personal opportunity in the name of what she believes in.
I know it's hard to compare the two, from men's soccer the way it's run and women's soccer the way it's run, and I understand that you know that the men in our country it's harder to win on a global scale than it might be for the women to win on a global scale. However, Martin, in your expertise and your thought of this sport, are there things that the women's organization is doing with their group in terms of participating in World Cup and competing in World Cup, just maybe in terms of training, scheduling, anything that the men could borrow in this country?
I don't necessarily think so. I think it's a lot of it is just a case of sort of numbers and history and tradition. So, you know, so many more girls play soccer in the United States as a percentage than do in other countries. And, you know, obviously because the U.S. is such a big country population-wise, that translates. And also then there's this pipeline that the college system for women in the United States is very, very strong and has had historic success. There are a lot of good coaches in the women's game and in the women's professional game. And when you have that history, when you have those role models of sort of young women to look up to, that's what's going to keep people playing, competing, and some of those players are going to come through the system. It's hard to say the men have to, you know, or the men could borrow from that. There's so much competition for male athletes. You know, American football, baseball, basketball, you know, those sports, you know, are all viable destinations for a very, very talented young athlete who's kind of trying to decide which direction to go in. So, yeah, it's tough. It's tough for sure.
One final question, and thanks for joining us from all the way in Paris. I appreciate it as the Women's World Cup gets underway. Alex Morgan for the United States, how is her effectiveness? And I feel like she's been around a long time. I know she's still young, but father time, still gets to all of us. Is she still a worldwide effective player?
Absolutely. Yeah, one of the best players in the women's game, no question about it. and you know, more mature as a soccer player than what she was, you know, 4, even 8 years ago. She's been around the block in terms of World Cups. She was younger and certainly more inexperienced in 2011, and has really kind of grown with this team and is a senior figure on it. She definitely will feel she has a point to prove here, hungry to, you know, to, not just to get another World Cup, but to forget about the disappointment of the Olympics in 2016. It's the team for which, you know, finishing second is considered a failure. The bar is extraordinarily high for them, and they set it very high for themselves, and Morgan very much buys into that.
Martin's great stuff. I really appreciate your time. Enjoy the Women's World Cup. Enjoy Paris and all of France. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, guys.
You got Martin Rogers again on our Progressive Insurance Hotline, and go to progressive.com for some great rates now at progressive.com. Get it at progressive.com today. Get your free quote. All right, we'll come back. I want some thoughts on this, and we'll get Ron in that as well, because soccer is his thing on the Women's World Cup and soccer in general as we wrap up this hour on SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
So a lot of things to look forward to this weekend. Tonight, Game 4. Then Sunday, Game 6 in the NHL where the Cup could be presented. Listen, even if you don't like hockey, if St. Louis wins, watch it. Watch the end. Watch the Cup. God, I love it. I tell you guys all the time, I'm not into hockey like some people are. I appreciate the sport and I understand the sport. I understand the passion for the sport. But there's one thing that gets me going every single year at this time, when that cup is taken out and those players who just worship that thing and get to finally touch it and get to finally carry it around the ice. I think it's one of the best things in sports. I think it's one of the best trophies in sports. I think it's the best trophy in sports, to be honest with you. And the way it's revered, it's unlike anything else I've ever seen. The Larry O'Brien, people play for the title of NBA champion. They don't play for the Larry O'Brien trophy. Same thing with baseball. I don't even know what the trophy is named. Commissioner's trophy, I guess. They don't even play for the Lombardi trophy. They play to be Super Bowl champions. But the guys play for that cup. And when that cup comes out on the ice and Gary Bettman gets booed and they say to the captain, come get your cup. And he skates out there and gets that cup and he skates around with it and they hand it off to players. And those players, some of them who've never touched it their whole careers, man, it's emotional. It's a great, great thing. So that could happen on Sunday. We'll see. Women's World Cup. If we don't win this thing, an upset, or is there enough competition that, all right, maybe we don't win this thing?
Well, I think if the final was to end up being USA versus France, and France is to win the World Cup, I don't really see that being an upset. They're playing in their home country. France actually has a decent team that is, you know, is somewhat comparable to the U.S. You know, and there's a, you know, a whole bunch of factors that could come into play. I mean, you talk about injuries, talking about, you know, bad calls where red cards come into play, where players are missing or being suspended during the tournament. Remember, if you get a red card in one of the games, not only do you have to exit that game, but you miss the following game as well.
Yeah, that's true.
Then you also have the other rule where it's accumulation of yellow cards. Ends up getting you suspended for a game. It resets, I believe, at the semifinal round or the quarterfinal round. One of those two rounds, it'll reset to where everyone gets back, you know, gets a clean slate. So there's a lot of factors that could come into play. But yeah, I think anytime the U.S. is in the World Cup, you know, Women's World Cup, which they always are, they're a favorite to win. And that's why I put them on the same page as Brazil. Now, the last World Cup for, yeah, I mean, Brazil was favored to win the last one, too. They seem to, you know, they're always just they're a perennial favorite, if that's the thing, even though it's every 4 years.
Yeah. He made a good point. Martin made a good point about, listen, there's a lot of girls that play soccer, and it's not something that the world, like, we're a little bit more progressive in that regard. So when we put a team together, there's a lot more opportunities to get better. In some countries, it took them a while to get it put a women's team together that gained any attention.
There are some countries where you know, women were almost banned from playing.
Right, exactly. So
I mean, this is just our neighbors to the south, Mexico. It was really hard for any Mexican woman who's down there to play soccer, because that's a man's game. That's man territory.
Yeah,
he can't be around.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's finally came along. It's finally coming around. And these girls show off tremendous skill, too. I mean, don't knock it. And, you know, watch these games. The skill level, I mean, obviously the game is not as fast as men's. That's just, you know, it's just how it is. But there is a lot of skill. These are very, very talented women, and they're playing their hearts out, and it's well worth the watch.
And it's, I think as a guy who had a daughter grow up, she didn't know anything about soccer. And when she was five, she watched the World Cup. She loved it. She wanted to be like those girls. She wanted to play soccer. She played soccer all the way up until last year. She's gravitated towards basketball now, but it was nice to have her have her own thing. She was not, I mean, listen, you hear this a lot, but as a dad who saw it firsthand, it was nice that she had her own role models. She didn't have to piggyback off her brothers. She had her own. She had, you know, Abby Wambach, who she got to meet and play soccer with in Nashville one time. It's one of the highlights of her life. It was very important. It's still important to a lot of girls out there, this event. So, it's great.
And we talk about this all the time, too. It's a rallying point for the country. We
have
one rallying team we can all get behind.
Yep, doesn't matter. So that's a very good thing to have. SB Nation Radio.